We're back. You know, what would this show be without, you know, some sound and some love from Todd Perkins? Brother Todd, you with me, baby?
I'm always with you, man. I'm always with you. And I've been seeing, you know, something. I am so proud of you this past week. I've always been proud of you, but I really, you know, saving lives one at a time.
Yeah, you and I do the same. Only you do it at a much higher level many times than I do.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No.
I'm not going to lie to you. No one needs to know how. Well, we'll skip that for now. I got to tell you, you know Hank Winchester, and
oh man, a great guy. You know the one time he's done so much for so many people, right?
Yeah.
And that's in his profession. He's found a way to help people, not just report the news. And you became Hank for Hank. You and Neil became Hank for
Hank.
Well,
I got to throw in Noel Friedman. Noel Friedman out there.
Yeah,
Noel. He did a lot of work. He's such a modest, humble guy. God bless him.
Yep.
He did it. But you had three guys. You know, fighting for Hank. We had Neil, myself, and Noel going at it. But you said it, right? You said it. Hank has done so much for so many people. And for voices that will never be heard, right? Like things, the gifts, the mitzvahs, the things that he's done for people that no one will know about. And the true character of this cat. What blows me away, and I've heard it from sheriffs, I heard it from prosecutors, I've heard it from police officers. There's so many times, you believe what every witness is going to tell you? You're going to put that? How many times have cops lied? How many times have witnesses lied?
Oh, my goodness. You're dealing with one right now that's magnetized proportions. But, you know, here's the problem I have with Hank's matter. And I'll call it a matter because it was never a case.
Right.
A matter. You know, the scourge of it, we have to continue to champion that this man has done nothing. You know, and that's what I am happy about, the news doing a story on a person who's been vindicated, not exonerated, vindicated. You know, and we need to continue to do that because it's, you know, it's a taint, man. I mean, this guy's a nice dude, man. You know, he's just... He's a decent man. He's just a good guy. And, you know, you hear a lot of people say that. So, you know, it just – I was upset about it. I've been praying for you. And, you know, once – you know, I when it came out, I saw that you were on it, and I was just been praying for you guys to
– God bless you.
You know, just – but, yeah, we have to continue to make sure that, you know, when I see him giving a guy a hug, it's just to let him know he's loved by all of us. But – you know, we just have to continue to say that, and hopefully, you know, you can keep on going. And he's held his head up high and strong. And
yeah, he'll do great things. He'll continue to do great things. I got to say this, and you know, this is something we need to put in our arsenal. We need to tell all the prosecutors and all the cops this. This is something Todd Perkins needs to have. It came from Mitch Albom. I'm stealing this from Mitch Albom from yesterday. The trumpets have to be louder when you're vindicated than when you're accused, right?
Right, absolutely.
Mitch is, a phenomenal writer and genius in mind.
Absolutely.
But when said that, I was thinking to myself, how apropos, how true. We always hear, where do you go to get your name back? You know, you've been accused, you've been through the rickets. Where do you go to get your name back? And he put it so succinctly. We got to have the louder trumpets, basically, right, when you're vindicated than when you were accused.
Well,
amen.
You know, and it also takes, you know, your support team, like what you guys, you did a whole layout. They did, it's a great story. It's a great end of a story. Well, you know, it's the end of the public part. But, you know, Hank's still got to go rebuild.
That's right.
I'm talking about emotionally, spiritually, I'm sure his career will be fine, but – you know, that it takes a toll, man. You age significantly.
Oh, gosh. You know, I agree. I agree. But this too shall pass. You know, people.
No, it will. It will.
It will. It will. It will. I got a case that came up. Dean Brown, he's a pitcher, freshman in high school, think about this for 1 second. Tell me your thoughts right out of the gate. Pitcher throws a 90-mile-an-hour fastball as out of high school, 90 miles an hour. I don't want to stand in that batter's box with that cat. So, you know, I'm good at slow pitch. But anyway, make a long story short, he goes to a game. He's in the last game in a series against Kentucky. He's at CMU. The assistant coach comes up to him out of the blue and lays into him a punch that would have made Bobby Knight and Woody Hayes look like they're weaklings. I mean, hit him square in the chest in front of everybody.
What the heck?
They try to bury it. I got to talk to you that, you know, behind this this segment.
Oh, no, we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about you. We got to talk about the journey you've been through, man, because I know it's big. All right, brother, I love you. We'll be right back.
See you in a minute.
All right. You got to love Link Bessert, man. He's always given me like, oh, dude, it's going to be okay. We're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. So, Brother Todd, you know, I was telling you about Dean Brown, you know, my CMU pitcher. And he was an 18-year-old coming into college freshman year. It was the cover-up because he reported it up the chain, and then they benched him. They put him on the Pines. This was a guy that could make the minor leagues every day of the week, twice on Sunday. I mean, he was being scouted for that. Now he's kind of put into a position of, you know, he's got to start all over again. But we are coming upon, if I wanted to be a multimillionaire, we are coming upon the college season. Coming upon the college season where moms and dads are going to have tears going on big time because they're letting their kids go away to college. They think they become adults, right? They're 18. How many MIPs change the trajectory of kids, right? Minors in possession of beer, alcohol, shots at the old sorority or fraternity house, you know, and the next thing you know, they're being shipped away with the MIP ticket. Two cases. School, CMU, tries to cover it up. I can't get into it deep because my complaint's there. I'm not going to talk heavy about it, but it's the bigger global picture, one. Two, what would you tell to all the moms and dads out there right now?
So, you know, you want to stay in touch with your kids. You know, my son's a junior at Howard, and he just left, and, you know, I call him, you know, at least a couple times a week. But, you know, you want to check in. And then when they're playing sports, they're also traveling. So, right. You know, it's a little bit more, you know, vigilance. And you know, you want to be not a helicopter parent, but you want to, you know, because your relationship is maturing into an adult father-son or mother-son relationship or mother-daughter for that purpose, for that matter. But you want to, you have to stay in, you know, have to stay in their lives. You have to stay, you know, organically in their lives, not forcing it, because, you know, if you have a great relationship with your kids throughout high school, that's going to just do nothing but get better. And you want to be there for them when something like, you know, this is, you know, jumping ahead, you know, I'm probably stealing your words, but you know something, it's the cover up is worse than the crime.
Yeah,
you know,
amen.
Just, you know, and then to treat a young man like this, these are kids, you know, we now know that the brain is not fully formed until he's 24, 25 years old. So these are kids. These are kids. And they're adult age, but they're kids. And you're going to treat this man like this for doing what he thought was the right thing to do?
Right.
So, you know, what I tell parents, just stay in their lives. You know, stay in their lives, and, you know, sometimes they don't want to hear from you, but you make yourself known. You call them. You know, I don't call my son at 11 o'clock on Saturday night unless it's maybe his birthday or something, but I call him during the day, check him out after he may have gone to watch the game, and, you know, how's the homework. But, you know, I want to know what's going on, particularly if you're playing sports, because you have so much more exposure to the student body, to the general public, to depending on what level you're playing at, to boosters. You have all this exposure and all this new exposure. And sometimes, you know, if you can make the trip, go to the games. Imagine if his parents, I don't know the story, but what if his parents are at that game?
It's beyond belief. But you know what's wild here is this. You and I together have represented the same players in the NFL, in the NBA, in the National Baseball League. We've had all of them. We've had every league, right, that we've represented a player, major league, you know. So at the end of the day, and we see that these players get targeted. They get a bullseye on their back. I'll never forget my running back out of Miami. I'll never forget. He was going to be drafted to the NFL, and someone targeted him, wanted to set him up, wanted to take his money, right? You know, it happens all over the place. And so what I teach and what I try to give on every level, the rookies going into the NFL, is you got a team around you. You got to love that team. You got to trust that team. You got to be a brother to that team, a sister to that team, whatever it may be. You got to have each other's backs, and you got to have your head on a swivel because, you know, there's people out there that, you know, you got to be careful of, right?
Absolutely.
You know, so here you would never think it would be the coach. You never think it'd be the assistant coach of the team. Yeah. Oh,
you know,
we
think so much alike. We think so much alike, man. Oh, my goodness. And that's, you know, because those are the people that you're trusting, you know, essentially with your lives, your careers. You know, because a coach can make, you know, a coach who really pushes a student athlete, he can get him that extra tryout. You know, he can get him into that front office meeting.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, they impact the entire, you know, trajectory of their young lives at that point.
We just taught this kid what HR means in the real corporate world. Human resources is not for the employee. It's for the employer.
Right. It's CYA. You know, it just really is. And it's so unfortunate. But, you know, even in the corporate world, we're talking about adults. And it's not fair there when it happens there either. But this is, you know, this is a student athlete. Yeah. I saw that and I winced. You know, I played college ball. So, you know, I just know what it was like when, you know, you're on these trips and, you know, you can find these coaches and, you know, it would be different if, you know, he apologized. Because right now, what you have right now is a situation in which that, you know, the damage control that CMU needs to do, you know, don't get it. I know only what I've read in the paper, and I'm anything you've told me, and I don't want to know that because.
Right. I'm not going to get into it beyond that, but. Yeah,
they need to do damage control immediately. You know, they need to stop, you know, because it gets nothing but worse dealing with a lawyer like you. It's just not going to be good.
Not going to be good. None of that's going to be good. I got a case coming. I got two major cases. I got one coming up against Interlochen coming up. I got, you know, there's just so many crazy cases. But I have my stepdaughter, Addison Sweggles, who's going to Rutgers. And I got to tell you, Addison is beyond her. She's an old soul. She's a brilliant, beautiful genius. She's going to be a great actress. She is a great actress already. She graduated from Interlochen Schools.
Okay.
You know, and now she's going up to the acting school within Rutgers. But I got to tell you something. Yeah, I got to tell you something. First and foremost, I already miss her. I'm going to be emotional about it, one. Two, you know, Brunswick, not the greatest place as far as outskirts. Rutgers is a great school, but, you know, the outskirts scares me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, you know, and her mom, I'm sure, is going to be, even though she already did this once by letting her go, you know, away for high school, she's going to be a basket case in tears. Here's my daughter, right, going away. Every parent goes through it, and it's letting go to that adult spot, and you're just praying to God great decisions are always made. You know what I mean?
Right.
And being in the wrong crowd, the wrong place, the wrong situation, and they're completely innocent, and yet they get hooked up with something. That's what always scares me, just because
it
of the sandbox.
But here's the thing. Comfort yourself in this. if you made it to where you are and I made it to where I am, these kids are going to be all right. You know, that's what I have to
Ain't
hope
that
for
the
and
truth,
for.
Right?
And, you know, I wish I could make my kids. My daughter's 17 today. Her birthday is today.
Oh,
and
happy birthday.
You know, my son's birthday is next Wednesday. So he's off to college. And, you know, since he's been in college, we haven't been able to, you know, celebrate together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing about it is next year, it'll be the first time that we won't. So we're going to try to figure out something that we can celebrate both their birthdays, because she wants to go to Howard too. So we'd have two kids at Howard. And but no, I wish I could just make them 3 and 6 again.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Times to remember, right? Soak it all in.
Absolutely.
Soak it all in. Listen, my man, I'm going to be back with you next month. I love you, bro. And
love you too, brother.
I'm proud of you. I'll be back with you.
I'm prouder of you.
Stop it. I'll talk to you. We'll be right back just after this with Behind the Bench.